astral planning?
Yes.
Work? Okay. So, let me see. So I was trying, because it seems like probably connecting both works, Ariel and my work, could be something useful for the paper. So I was trying to see how to make the link between both works. Okay. So I think I remember Ariel saying some way of linking both things, but I don't remember how exactly he said we can do that.
Should be one of the audios of the...
Yeah, they didn't check them. Right, so, well, it seems at least a part of the experiment, I don't know exactly how to present. In some sense, it's similar to the Sigmetrics paper, in that we have a series of hypotheses, and we present experiments to support or deny the hypothesis. Mm-hmm. And I guess the other contribution of the paper, and probably of this work, probably the most important contribution, is that after those experiments, we give some insights of how that information can be used in the future for to develop or to improve our current systems that use flash-based search. Right. So that's how I see this paper.
But that's just your part of
my part. Yeah, that's my part. So I don't know how to link that with Ariel's work. I guess I don't know if, because it seems I think at some point we mentioned that probably using the diagrams we can partially explain some of the results of the experiment, right?
Yeah, that may be possible, although we've not done anything in that direction.
Yeah.
So...
Okay.
That may be one thing which we could add to the paper.
Right. So I guess the other thing, something that we should probably discuss is to give a list of contributions that this, at least this part can put up. So as I said, one contribution could be that the experiments provide features of the SSD that can be useful in the improving current systems that use flash-based storage. I don't know if probably that's the only contribution. I guess another contribution is the techniques that we give in order to extract those features.
Mentioned two contributions. One is the technique to extract certain features, but now we don't have any features. We are hypothesis driven.
That's true.
So there are no features that we try to extract.
Right, but in some sense, we are also extracting features that we are creating. It's not, they are not, you know, specific features of the Flash itself. So, for instance, in the case of a button size, we're saying that there should be some request size which maximizes throughput and all its multiples maximize throughput, right? So we provide experiment that also not only corroborate that statement, but also give what is a request size that makes the statement true, right?
Right. So I see that more as a guideline. This is the second contribution that you refer to, which is such a, or insights as to what file systems or operating systems should do, that they should align their requests to certain sizes. So I see that being connected to the second contribution. So the technique for extracting features might not be a contribution for us, unless we identify specific features that What else? One contribution that I see is understanding the performance of the IO stack and the device, because we are doing experiments to understand that better. If we have any specific we can make a statement to the effect that we either confirm or invalidate assumptions about solid state drives, then, you know, specifically in terms of, let's say, the steady state performance, or, you know, maybe yeah, something along those lines could be a contribution that we are either providing a better understanding of performance for the device as well as the OS IO stack. By improving the understanding, maybe people can design their systems better. And then the second contribution is that we have specific rules of thumb or suggestions for how file systems or operating systems should manage these devices. So those could be two distinct contributions. Then maybe there is a third and fourth contribution that comes from the second piece of work.
Yeah. Well, actually, based on that, now you said that, I guess it's important to check the insights, because probably it seems like many of the insights themselves are contributions.
Could be, yeah. But we don't want a really long list of contributions, right? We want, for the introduction at least, we want sort of three or four high-level bullets that summarize the contribution, and then we can perhaps go into more detail and say, okay, we provide insight, the set of insights is a single high-level contribution, right? each insight, you're right, is a contribution, but listing each insight in the contributions list may not be appropriate, for at least for the introduction section.
Okay.
And maybe we can say a few, you know, highlight a few of those insights and say, for instance, we found or found this so and so, and we suggest, as a consequence, we suggest that operating system should do this. You know, the current operating systems are not designed to address that insight.
Now that you say that, so if we propose something like that, do we need to implement what we said, or we can just leave it as a suggestion?
There's always follow-up work, right? I mean, that will come out of this, and most papers are incomplete, not all. So you can always say, okay, but what about this? What about this? And in this case, well, you suggest improvements, but why don't you implement it and show it that it actually makes an improvement?
Right. Right.
And in our case, we have some sound numbers or data behind why we think that these improvements will make an impact. And
right.
I think that's reasonable. That's sufficient for a paper of this kind.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if we had maybe focused just on the two or three different insights, then maybe it's not sufficient to just say, okay, here we think that these insights could be used in the following way, but more might be expected for a paper.
Right.
At least for FAS. Maybe for workshop, it's been.
Now that you say that, I also was thinking that, you know, for instance, in this case, in this draft, we talk about segments, right? As a way to improve write performance.
Mm-hmm.
So can we also include an experiment for segment padding as a way to have a better
page padding?
Yeah, but it won't be exactly page padding.
Okay.
I'm thinking more about segment padding. I don't know exactly how, but
so you pad
it would be good to, if we publish something like this, it would be good to also give the idea of padding in the SOCs as well.
Yeah, that would be good. Trying to understand what exactly you mean by that. So let's say, so this is to address random, right? So what the SSD has is a stream of IO requests, and some of those requests are writes, and they could be to random locations. Are you trying to address that problem?
No.
The general random write problem.
No, I was trying to think if we introduce a segment write as a way to improve writes, even random writes. I guess that's the idea. We can also include the idea of padding, which we have been using for other projects, right?
For the hybrid memory.
But we haven't published yet. Yeah,
maybe worthwhile doing that, but I'm trying to understand what exactly you mean by segment padding first.
Even I don't know myself. I need to think more about it.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think how that would work, but I don't know exactly.
Yeah, the problem is that if you have random writes, the probability of those random writes to to be within the same segment is small. But if you're doing segment padding, then maybe you just need to read so much data that and write out so much data that the overhead of padding first can be too high, like in the generic case, and second you wear out your disk much more because you're writing a lot more data. So it's all about the IO evolution here. Padding works in the case of log structured file systems because we have the flexibility to write anywhere, and we choose to write to same segments or underutilized segments where we can fill in a lot of writes to the same segment, and then in that kind of a scenario padding makes sense. But in a general random write scenario for an arbitrary data partition, I don't know if it makes sense. Maybe it does, but I don't see it immediately.
Okay. So then I guess that this paper should be something like,
on the other hand, if you're, you know, proposing something like log structured block layer, then padding might make sense. Or log structured file system, maybe instead of doing cleaning, you can do padding with log structured file system. You know, some of those things can be done, but then those are not sort of completely new ideas. It's sort of in, you become go in the incremental path.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, then I guess the paper would be presented in. It seems to me very similar to the thick metrics paper. So in the introduction, we list some contributions. Then we probably list some answer of hypotheses we have that we're going to proof and discuss in following section, right? So I don't know. I mean, do you think something else?
So I think it's important to think carefully about the overall message of the paper before we talk about the skeleton, right?
Okay.
What is it that we want to say in this paper? I think that day we had a discussion with Ariel and Jason, and what is my recollection of that. It would be good to go back to that audio and listen to it again to see if I'm missing something. But at a high level, we wanted to have a hypothesis-driven model of the SSD and a validation of the model. Right? So in other words, we have a set of experiments that give us a clue to a model. So our model, so the idea is that we are not pulling the model out of thin air, right? We just completely creating a model that we imagine, right? So it's in that way hypothesis driven, right? So far we have not talked about the insights here, but let's postpone. We didn't talk about the insights then either. So let me just recollect the discussion we had at that time. So hypothesis based creating of a model and then validating of the model, right? So that was the validating of the model would require the construction of that simulator and run that simulator, get numbers and compare it against the numbers that we have for the actual prototypes.
Then the logical sequence of the, I mean, because it's, we present a model and then that model, I mean, we validate that model with the hypothesis, is that right? Or is the other way around? Or is that from the hypotheses and experiments we have.
So the hypothesis, the our experiments with various hypotheses about SSDs motivate our model. But right now the problem is that no one knows what the, you know, what is the correct model for SSDs, right? I mean, maybe people have a good understanding of how to model the components, but they don't have a good understanding of how to model the behavior, right? And the operation of the SSD. So our goal is to use our hypothesis as in findings of a hypothesis to motivate the model that we are proposing. And so there is some dependency between the findings of hypothesis and the model that we construct. And then the next step is to validate the model using this simulator and recreating maybe some of the experiments that we use to establish our hypothesis, right? So to tie back into the same data maybe we don't need a completely new set of data. It's a little confusing structure, I agree, but that's one way to connect what you're doing with what Ariel is doing. So these hypothesis questions are a way for us to create some knowledge so we can use the knowledge to build a model. And so that's the story here. Now, the insights are the parts that don't fit in
exactly
into this stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Uh-huh. And maybe those insights could be final section or something like that, suggestions. So then our contributions are, first is understanding and then modeling and then modeling and validation, and then maybe third is the insight. So we have three contributions in only four.
Yeah. Now, based on that, what I'm trying to think is how.
But is the overall message of the paper clear?
I think so. So I guess the goal is to have a better understanding of the entity. So the question is, how do we do that? So that's the list of contributions we have, where we have some hypotheses and we do some experiments to validate those hypotheses. And based on those hypotheses, then we are constructing a model.
Mm-hmm.
That model receives as input all these results that we got from the hypothesis. And then we validate, or we construct a simulator that validates this new model. A fourth contribution would be to additionally give some insights on how to use all this information in real systems. So I think I understand. It's fine. So what I don't see here is how to use the hypothesis result as an input to construct a model, right?
I think you and Ariel have to have a discussion on that to first try to make that connection.
Okay.
I think you have an insight into the hypothesis, and Ariel has better insight into the model. That discussion needs to happen.
Okay. Sure. So is there anything else? I mean, are there any connection? I think we probably discussed a couple of connections last time. I think that was only one, but I remember there was probably something else. I need to listen to the recording.
What connection are you referring to?
The link in between the hypothesis to.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The model. Yeah, but I don't remember exactly. Okay. Then.
There were a couple of things. Logical block size, full stripe size. Those
right.
things were there based on your read and write.
Yeah.
Workloads. Maybe something about the mapping. For that, you have to look into the set of parameters that Ariel sent out in his most recent document, the characteristics,
mm-hmm.
and look at each of those and map those back to your hypothesis and see how the hypothesis are helping you maybe understand that a certain mapping has a certain behavior or certain operation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that you might have to do to make that connection stronger.
Okay. Okay, then I will think more about that.
I mean, one way to make sure that we don't lose any of our discussions, right, is to start working on the draft of the paper with the skeleton and put all the structure in there and all the points that we decided that we, you know, agreed upon and what needs to be added and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have that structure in place would be a good idea.
Yeah, but probably I need to talk to
Ariel first. Yes.
Okay. I'm definitely do that.
Our only strategy that is going to end this project is to start populating the paper.
Yeah.
Because it's we can keep doing more and more and more and
yeah,
more,
yeah.
right? And
I guess we need to fix some contributions and some methods we want to.
What we have right now is reasonable, I think.
Yeah.
So let's just go with that, because I think it's not the same as what we started off, perhaps, but there is a story that we can tell, right?
Yeah.
And you're just now making the story flow through the entire paper and connect all the dots and. Let's focus on that story and go. Talk to Ariel, maybe you can refine the story further and come up with some sort of a structure. So, and put sort of add bullets in there to say, okay, these are the things that we need to address within this section.
Right. Okay. Okay. So I guess the other thing I want to discuss is I was refining the hypothesis.
Okay.
So we're thinking about the the multiples thing and also did some refinement on the state statements. So, okay. Okay, so one thing I was thinking is that, so in the first hypothesis, talking about the device overhead, one thing I said is that the overhead should be less or equal than some alpha times the response time,
right,
of the request. So, and that should be, I'm saying that should be true for all the requests. So one thing I was thinking is that is probably because you could have, you know, you could have some outliers in that case. And by having only one outlier, then this thing is false.
Yeah.
So I was thinking something in lines like probably have more the overhead, the average overhead of the request should be
average response time? Or?
No, the average overhead over time. Okay. I mean, accounting the overhead at the time.
Which hypothesis are you referring to?
I'm referring to the first hypothesis, the device overhead.
Oh, I see.
Right. So what I'm saying is that for all requests, the overhead of that of all those requests should be less or equal than some alpha times the response time of that request. Right. Being alpha a value from 0 to 1 with the, that is reasonably small.
Mm.
But the problem with that is that if we have only one request that is probably an outlier in terms of overhead, then this thing is false.
Yeah. The reason is that you're instead of saying okay, so you could say that a certain large fraction or majority, or I mean, in this case, we don't want just majority, but we want 99.999 whatever percent of the request to satisfy that condition.
Okay.
So maybe we can have some percentage of or fraction of requests.
Yeah, what we can do is to redefine for all.
Yeah, that's true.
For all. Saying that for all means for almost all.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was one thing. The other thing is that I was trying to define the approximate operator that I had.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I defined it was to say, what I said was that A is approximately equal to B if and only if the absolute value of A minus B is less than equal than some alpha, right? But the problem with the alpha is that we don't want an absolute value for alpha. So
you want a fraction of
any of these two values, right? So I was saying that the mean of A and B That's what I was thinking.
So you want epsilon in there? In epsilon times?
Here?
Yeah. Epsilon, you want that to be a small value, right? Alpha to be a really small value.
Yeah, well, when I multiply alpha by this minimum, I'm defining alpha as a percentage of...
But alpha needs to be really small value.
Yes.
So you can use epsilon there.
Okay. What is the difference?
Alpha is not something that is typically used for small values. It's just an arbitrary variable, right? Epsilon is
something that is close to zero.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Right. But in any case, I guess we have to give a number for epsilon.
Yeah, you can make epsilon less than or equal to 0.0001 or
something. Okay. Right. So the other thing I did was I was also doing some refinements in the definition of space state. So this is what I did. So what I said now is that before I said, okay, let me see what I said now is that there is some A, right, such that for all I greater than or equal than A, that is,
mm-hmm.
at some point you have that.
You're talking about time now.
I'm talking about, timeline.
Mm-hmm. So maybe
actually it's not a time, but it's rather a request number in a sequence of requests.
Okay.
Right? So what I'm saying is that at some point, that is A.
Mm.
All the requests will have approximately the same response time. Right?
Time is between in a band of values. But yes,
that's what I'm saying. But I guess the high level overview is that all of them have similar response times. So what I'm saying is that
could I have a steady state where I have three different values of the response time? Then I just maintain the three different values.
Yes.
So
will that account for?
Is that a steady state or not? Good question.
So maybe.
If you want to broaden the scope of steady state to be basically non-random values of response time,
well, in this case, what I'm saying is that
this is for steady state for a specific experiment. Is it?
Yes.
Okay. So then it depends on the experiment how we define the steady state for that experiment.
Actually.
It's not a general steady state of the.
Well, I was thinking of a general steady state, and in fact, what I'm saying is that what we discussed last time is that for a range of requests, you give some single number, the minimum, maximum, or average. I'm here in this case, I'm talking about average, and that would be approximately the same. To a range equal in size, but far, at the end of the program.
Correct.
So that's what I'm doing. So I think that will apply for
for this
any experiment.
Okay. Yeah.
Even if you have three different values.
Yeah. As long as the fraction of the values, the number of points in each range are same.
Yeah.
And steady state, we expect that they would be same.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's not steady state.
Otherwise, it's not steady state.
Mm-hmm. And this duration has to be large enough so that
you capture
all the variance of the.
Yeah. In the first attempt, I use the request infinite. The infinite request to mention that it doesn't matter how long you go, it should be exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
But now I cannot use that because I need to do some summation. So what I'm saying is that it goes to an n,
mm-hmm.
where n should be sufficiently large.
Okay. Like larger than A or what?
Larger than, actually, yes, of course, to be larger than A, but it should be, you know, a lot larger.
Okay.
So I guess in this specific experiment, we should give some rule of thumbs, like, well, if, let's say that you write as much, in the case of price, like, you write as much as the size of the LTV or something like that, so you are sure, in case you are using log,
yeah,
and a hybrid mapping, you fill the whole log block and so on.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I think some formalism here certainly helps, because I think at this point people are just doing, you know, ad hoc techniques for reaching steady state.
Right.
If you define steady state in a formal way, I think people would appreciate that.
Yeah. But this is only a way of saying if the device is in a steady state or not. But it doesn't give you the information on how to reach that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably something that we can give some insight on how to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. The other one I was doing was about the multiple. So let me write this one.
Mm-hmm.
So what I was saying was, okay, so the idea is that you have a partner size,
mm-hmm.
right? And at some point, you get to the maximum throughput. And the maximum throughput of that device will be for all the multiples of that throughput, right?
All the multiples
of that size. Exactly. So what I did was as follows. So I said that there is some size and E, which is, I call it, but so I said first that X would be the size of that request. And I also looked at the R max. So R max is defined as a set of, let me put it here, this is the throughput of E, right? So RMAX is a set of of E that maximize this function. This function. Right. So in this case,
yeah.
Well, I don't know if I'm using. I need to recheck again.
Yeah.
How I said that. Anyway, I don't know if I'm using the notation right. But so what I'm saying is that this set would be all y, another variable, all the y such that for all n generally equal than 1, x or
y plus
y should be equal to n and x. Okay? So what I'm saying is that, what I wanted to say here is that,
I think that's fine, I understand.
Yeah. So
I don't know about RMAX, you may want to check on that, but the rest seem okay.
I already checked that on Wikipedia.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's just, values that maximize this function with this variable. I mean,
what is that S of E over there?
What I want to say,
X is a request.
It's a size. This is size.
X is a size, yeah. And E is a request.
Is a request. So this is the size of E.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not sure now that I see this. I'm not sure if I'm using the variables right. I need to recheck that.
Seems okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. Just check on the RMAX again if you're not sure about it.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I think that's all I have to discuss.
So what about the Intel devices?
I have enabled, you know, the thing is that right now I'm doing the pattern size experiment, and it turns out that that takes a long time. So I started with the Samsung and Memorite, because now I'm using the CDITA2, and I only have two ports. Mm-hmm. And
what about the PCI card?
I didn't try that yet. So
maybe you can have some more experiments going on in parallel.
I don't think that's a good idea. Actually, I have tried that before.
But on different machines.
Even that, I don't know if that's a good idea, because then we will compare two graphs that are not in the same machine, so probably, you know, there are some differences.
But I thought we had two machines with this exactly the same hardware, right?
But I'm using the other machine for the hybrid memory.
I see.
Yeah.
So can we use... The hybrid memory is a user-level thing, right? And for that, we could use any machine? Is that...
We cannot use the same operating system. I would like to use exactly the same operating system.
For
flash experiments.
Same operating system, what does that mean? For the two flash projects?
No.
Okay.
Well, I'm saying that right now I have two operating systems which are different.
Oh, I see.
So I guess, you know, I need to have exactly the same operating system.
Okay.
Yeah, and the other thing is that...
Well, I'll leave it up to you to...
I would like to parallel, to do parallel experiments, but at this point, I can't.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. So... I guess we just wait for these two, for Samsung and SanDisk, and then...
Yes, and...
Memorite as well.
Actually, one thing I wanted to do, because at this point I'm not sure if actually the CDITA1 is a bottleneck for...
SanDisk.
SanDisk, also... Or Samsung. Also... Actually, you know what? I was trying... I think the... Now that you say the controller that you gave me yesterday, they have four ports.
Uh-huh.
Each. So I can connect all the devices to one single controller.
Data controller.
And then they have all exactly the same configuration, right?
Yeah, but you can't do experiments in
parallel. I can do experiments in parallel. That's right.
But at least
I don't have to switch.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
All right. I guess you are the expert on that. So I'll let you deal with it.
Yeah. Okay. So, are we meeting tomorrow? We'll have to meet tomorrow.
Do you want to meet with these guys on Thursday?
Yeah. Sure.
Thursday at 3:15 then.
Also, let me set a meeting with
Ariel
first,
and then maybe we can meet.
Yeah, probably.
Meet Tuesday next week.
Next meeting, what we can do is that we check what Ariel and I did.
Yeah.
Right, so probably there is no point to do a meeting before Ariel and I.
Yeah, and I think we had enough discussion today for you and Ariel to at least get started and.
Absolutely.
And you can also review the discussion we had the other day.